Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the IDFC First Bank Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan Shah from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Tanvi, and good evening to everyone present on the call. This is Chintan Shah from ICICI Securities. Today we have with us Mr. V. Vaidyanathan, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Sudhanshu Jain, CFO and Head Corporate Center, and Mr. Saptarshi Bapari, Head Investor Relations from IDFC First Bank to discuss their Q4 FY23 and annual FY23 earnings. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello, everyone. This is Vaidyanathan. I'm really happy to hear to be with all of you today.
Good evening, everyone. Sudhanshu here.
Hi, everyone. This is Saptarshi Bapari.
Good evening, everybody. I was informed by Chintan that some other conference call is going on, and he may need a little more time for people to assemble. Chintan, I'll go by your advice on when to start.
Sure, sir. Sure.
Sir, we are in the main call. You may continue your proceeding.
I think, sir, yeah, we can start.
Okay.
Maybe all the couple of participants.
No, I think that that'll probably be fair respect for people who join on time, and hopefully we will be able to engage with others who join a little later. Let me just give it a start and Sudhanshu can help us with the numbers. First of all, I want to thank every one of you listening to the call very, very sincerely for being with us over the last three or four years while we were building out the bank and building out its foundations and all that. We believe that after those first three or four years of building the liability franchise has come out really very strong. We're building the brand, which has come out very strong, by building systems, people, processes, technologies, all that stuff. Now we believe we are in a very strong position to roll out our products, scale up our businesses, get the revenue lines in, and start seeing the opening of the jaws on profitability. I don't know if many of you remember that somewhere in 2021 when the COVID loss was going on, I had made a statement to everybody saying that this bank will never make a loss again. There was a purpose for the. First of all, I'm very happy it's been many quarters since then, maybe close to two years. Not a single quarter we've gone anywhere close towards that word L. The reason is that, which many people didn't understand, is that, in the initial stages of the bank, the core issue for the bank was, not that there were a few infrastructure loans and all that. The core issue was that the bank did not have operating profit, because this was largely a DFI bank, in 2018 or so. As a domestic financial institution, as all of you know, we've seen this at ICICI, we've seen this at IDBI. Everywhere, initially the infrastructure loans are lent at maybe 10%-11%, cost of funds are like 9%. You're left with a NIM of like 1.6%-1.7%. Then with that NIM, really all of us know it won't be very profitable, and with that then very difficult to invest, and so on. It was really an amazing thing for this bank to have gone and got itself a bank license, which really talks a lot about a lot of positive things about my predecessors, Rajiv Lal and all, who really built an amazing institution enough to go and get a license. Now the license is there on the hand. Now what to do? I think from that situation, or from that merger point, so to say, after Capital First and IDFC, the first quarter, the operating profit of the bank, operating profit, remember the loan book was about 1 lakh crore, and the operating profit was 276 crores. Operating profit meaning the core operating profit, core NII, core fees minus core OpEx, right? That is what is available for taking provisions for credit loss and all that. That number was core operating profit was 276 crores. Now, After that, of course, we had to invest in branches and all that. Now, by the period of 2022, Q1 FY22, that is April, May, June of 21, in that year also, we did not have much of an operating profit, but we had COVID on our head. But the good news is that that operating profit for the bank, let me tell you a trend line for the last four quarters, and then you will see where this game is headed. That 276 crore of core operating profit in Q1 FY23 was 987 crores. Q2 of FY23, it is 1052 crores. The first time we decisively crossed the 1000 crore barrier of core operating profit. In Q3 FY23, that is October, November, December of 22, our core operating profit is 1225 crores. In Q4 FY23, which is this quarter, our core operating profit is 1,342 crore, 1,300. So now, even if there's a COVID theoretically, and even if it is the same intensity of what came Q1 of FY22, which is that, 2 months of moratorium, lockdown, no moratorium, Even that extreme situation, our bank will be like sailing through comfortably because we'll have a lot of operating profit now. So this is a very, very fundamental point to note that we are on a very strong wicket. We believe we have, the way the incremental economics are coming about, which is what is giving us this kind of operating profit, that is going to look, that we believe is almost a reached a level of permanency. And then now whatever happens to the global ecosystem, then odd crisis comes, if something comes, something goes, that happens to everybody. And we will deal with it very, very comfortably. Now, the second part of the conversation is that if you see the trend line of profitability over the last four quarters on a PAT basis, it was Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4 of this year has now moved from 474 crore Q1 to Q2 was 556 crore, Q3 was 605 crore, and Q4 is 803 crore. There was some one-time income through treasury, but even if we take it out, core operating profit of the PAT of this quarter will probably be 700 crores, 701 or 702 crores. Now, so therefore, you can think of it like, sequentially it's moved from 605 to 700. So we believe this is a story for good, and we're all pretty feeling good about that. It gives us confidence more than anything else. It gives us, we were insiders, so we always knew that the bank is headed for really good times, and I always felt very good about the bank. I feel very bullish. But then from the market point of view, until you see the numbers, you won't believe it. So, I agree with your feelings. So now at least I am feeling very confident. Hopefully, after hearing today's call, you get a good color about where the bank is headed. So I'd like to, close here. And I'll request my colleague Sudhanshu to help us with the numbers.
Yeah, thank you, Vidya. Friends, I will start with the balance sheet metrics and then talk about asset quality, and this will be followed by profitability. On the balance sheet, the overall balance sheet of the bank grew by 26% on a YOY basis to reach about ₹2,40,000 crores at March end. We continue to see a healthy growth on our lending book and in deposit mobilization. Customer deposits for us grew strongly by 47% YOY to reach ₹1,36,000 crore. The yearly growth in CASA deposits was 40.7% and for term deposit it was 54.2%. CASA balances grew by 8% sequentially, and we saw a relatively faster growth in term deposits at 13.6% due to increase in the overall systemic rates. CASA ratio was stable at around 50% as on March 31st, 2023. Average CASA ratio stood at 48.5% for the year. Even on average current account deposits, we saw an increase of 48.6% during the year. CASA and term deposits less than 5 crores was at 83% of the customer deposits as on March 31st, 2023, which points to granularity of deposits. Retail deposits stood at 76% of the total customer deposits at March 31st, 2023, and it grew at 53% on a YOY basis. We opened 102 branches during the quarter, and the branch count now stands at 809 branches. The bank maintained an average LCR of 120% during Q4, as against 122% in Q3. We would like to maintain the same around these levels. We continue to see a reduction of high-cost legacy borrowings. It has reduced by rupees 7,500 odd crores during last 1 year, and the residual amount left is now rupees 17,673 crores, which will run down in next 2 to 3 years. About rupees 5,100 crores is scheduled for rundown in FY24. We have given details around this on slide 29. Moving on to assets, I am happy to report that the overall funded assets have crossed rupees 1,60,000 crores and grew by 24% on a YOY basis. Retail and commercial book, which is well diversified, grew to rupees 1,26,000 crores. We saw strong growth across all product segments. To give some more color, home loan grew by 39% on a YOY basis. We saw disbursements holding up well in this segment despite increase in interest rates. Wheel segment, which includes two-wheelers and cars, registered strong growth of 53% on account of festive demand and our increased distribution. Consumer loans comprising of consumer durable, personal loan and cross-sell loans grew by 20% on a YOY basis. Rural finance book grew strongly by 48% on a YOY basis. Credit card, which comes off from a small base, grew by 74% on a YOY to rupees 3,510 crores. The bank has issued more than 1.5 million cards since launch in January 21. Spends on credit card increased by 92% on a YOY basis. On the wholesale side, non-infra corporate loans grew by 9% YOY to rupees 26,000 crores. The infrastructure book degrew further by 32% on a YOY basis to rupees 4,664 crores and is now merely 2.9% of the total funded assets as compared to 5.3% a year earlier. Moving on to asset quality, the gross and the net NPA of the bank has further improved by 45 basis points and 17 basis points respectively, QoQ, and stood at 2.51% and 0.86%. PCR gross of technical write-off stood at 80.29% at end of March quarter. The bank has significantly increased the PCR in the last 1 year from 70% to 80%. In fact, if we exclude the rundown infrastructure lending book, NPAs, then GNPA and NNPA at bank level stood at 1.84% and 0.46% respectively, and provision coverage gross of technical write-off moves up to 87%. Retail GNPA also improved sequentially by 22 bits to 1.65% and net NPA is down to just 0.55%. The corporate non-infra book continues to be well provided with a PCR of 99.8%. Net slippages during the quarter were lower by 21% despite increasing the overall book at rupees 468 crores. The overall standard restructured book as a percentage of total funded assets has further reduced to 0.6% as compared to 0.9% last quarter. The bank holds a provision cover of 25% on this book. The SMA 1 and SMA 2 on the retail book is stable at around 1% and much lower than 2.2% a year ago, which is a good indicator of portfolio quality. Even on the corporate book, the ratio of SMA 1 and 2 is sub 0.2%. Moving on to the last section, profitability. Our profits for the year have increased to rupees 2437 crores as against profit of 145 crores reported last year. This is on account of increase in pre-provisioning operating profit, including treasury gains by 50% as compared to last year, and also lower provisions by 46%. Profit after tax in Q4 increased to 803 crores versus 343 crores in Q4 FY22, up by 134% YOY and 33% QoQ. This was largely driven by strong growth in operating income. On a quarterly annualized basis, the ROE continues to expand, and for the full year, it stood at 1.13%. The ROE has crossed, I would say, 10%. In fact, it's at 10.95% for full year FY23. The net interest income for Q4 23 grew strongly by 35% YOY to rupees 3597 crores. Fee and other income also witnessed an increase of 40% YOY to rupees 1181 crores for Q4. Retail fees contributed 91% of the overall fee and other income, and hence it is quite granular. We have given more details around the fee breakup on slide 51. The bank had a trading gain of Rs. 216 crore in Q4 FY23 as compared to a trading gain of Rs. 36 crores in Q3 FY23. The gain during the quarter was primarily due to monetization of certain BCF investments. The bank utilized Rs. 79 crores out of this to increase the provision coverage on loans during the quarter. Core operating income, excluding trading gain for Q4 FY23, increased by 36% to Rs. 4778 crores, aided by strong NII and fee income growth, which I mentioned before. Operating expense was Rs. 3436 crores in Q4 FY23. Cost to income ratio improved to 71.9% in Q4 FY23. In fact, for the full year, it has improved by 525 basis points. Core operating profit, excluding trading gains, grew by 61% YOY and 10% QOQ, which is to Rs. 1342 crores. Provisions for the quarter were 482 crores due to certain additional provisioning done during the quarter, as mentioned earlier. The credit cost as a percentage of the average funded assets for Q4 was at 1.26%. For the full year, it was at 1.16%, much lower than our earlier guidance of 1.5%. The bank has maintained strong capital adequacy, and the CAR, including profits, was at 16.82% as on March 31, 2023, with CET ratio at 14.2%. The bank is well above the regulatory threshold and looks forward to continue the growth in a profitable manner. With this, I close my opening remarks. We are happy to take questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mohit Surana from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for a great numbers. Sir, my first question, and thanks for giving the disclosure on cost to income. So I just wanted to understand that in a little more detail when you say that the cost to income and liabilities has gone down from 198 to 174. How should we read it, right? What should be the income that we would be getting from liability?
First of all, hi Mohit. I'm happy to hear you. So and hello to everyone again. Now, this time we have given much more detail about this cost to income ratio. As everybody knows that our cost to income, we have people always talk about our cost to income. So this time we have given two sets of information. One is we have given you a full trend line year by year what the cost to income was over the last 4 years. So it was 95.13% in Q2 of FY19. In H2 it was 85.22. Then FY20 it was 76.86, then 78, then 77, then now 72. So you should come down from here. Now, with regard to the breakup, since you referred only to liabilities, but for the benefit of others on the forum who may not have seen the particular slide, let me just read out the numbers to you. On the retail side, our cost income last year has retail lending side, cost income has come down from 63.4 to 55.0. On the wholesale side, cost income has come down from 38.1 to 31.6. Then you might say that, listen, if a cost income is as low as 55 in retail on the lending side, if it's 31 on the wholesale side, then really what is lifting the cost income? So there are two items. One is the liability side, which is 173% you referred to. Other is credit cards, which is 164%. So the sigma of all of these four put together is the number that you see, the 72. Now let me just explain this number, what you asked for liabilities, 173%. So in the liabilities business, just what happens is that the a branch raises deposits. the branch could be raising savings accounts, could be raising current account deposits. So on savings accounts, we give them a particular transfer pricing, which is the benchmark for them, and the difference between the transfer pricing and the actual money the branches pay out to the customers, the differential is the income of the branch. Similarly, the difference between the benchmark and zero is the income of the branch as far as current account is concerned. That is income for the branch. The expense for the branch is the really cost of the branch, people and premises and rent and all that. And the other income is, of course, a fee income. So that sigma of all that is, at this point of time, for the bank as a whole, is a loss. And that is what is giving us the 173%, which is basically income. Income is less, expense is more than income. Now, how will this come down? Well, very simple. By the way, I described the equation to you. If the branch grows more deposits, then the difference between the numbers I told you, the benchmark minus the what they pay the customer, that keeps increasing, and then the branch become profitable. And of course, if the branch sells more fee-based products, etc., the branch makes more income. So this is the short of it is that as the branch gets more scale and size and more customers and more deposits and all that, this is a self-solving problem. And we believe that this for us also it will trend that way.
Okay, sir. Thanks for the explanation. Just one follow up. What should we what should be a reasonable transfer pricing for deposit that a branch did? Any color on that?
So normally, I don't think banks disclose that number, but I'd say that clearly, if you look at the G-Sec pricing of the moment, you should expect that could be a bit of a risk-free pricing for the situation.
Okay, got it. Thank you, sir. As the second question is when we look at IDFC Bank, it's obviously done very well on deposits. And a part of it is because, the branch efficiency or the deposit efficiency per branch is, quite a healthy number. So just one color on that is that how many years, probably, even a rough ballpark, does it take for a branch to reach its full potential in terms of getting liabilities and deposits? Any color on that?
I don't know if you've been to any of the IDFC Bank branch and have spoken to any of the employees there. They'll probably give you a good color. And I really invite you to do this at random in any branch of the country. Our people are really very happy basically the branches are not the only thing. The brand that powers the customers to come to the branch, the service that you give to the customers at the branch, all that is also playing a role. So in our case, all these machinery is playing very well. Some of the bank's image is really very good. So our branches are typically in about 24 months, you can see a kind of a break even or probably even a bit earlier, depending on branch to branch, depending on the cost of the branch. And we are at least finding that our branches are frankly, very, very productive.
Got it.
We are feeling, frankly, that we really got this liability machinery fantastically going for the bank. We feel very confident for the next year, and we feel that this will keep money will keep coming in comfortably, and then we have the peace of mind to grow assets comfortably in a safe sort of a manner.
Got it. Thanks, sir. And sir, just last two questions. One is if you could explain what we had healthy treasury gains in the quarter, what explains that? And if you could also give the comparable NIM number versus last quarter of 6.36. And sorry if I missed that in the PPT.
Yeah, it's there in the PPT, but maybe it came a little late for you, so you may not have found to read it. But Let's answer the question first and then I'll come to the
question. Thanks, Mohit, for the question. First, on the treasury gain, as I mentioned in my opening remark, that we had certain gains from redemption of venture capital fund investments which we were holding. So that came as a gain during the quarter. It's one time in a strict sense. That was about slightly more than 200 odd crores. On the NIM for the quarter, NIM was 6.41% gross of sell downs in IBPC, and the corresponding number for the previous quarter was 6.13%.
Okay, Sudhanshu, last quarter the total NIM was, if I'm not wrong, 6.36. So if you could also give a like to like, or probably I can take later if it is not handy.
That you can take like to like, you can probably just adjust for the fact of this sell down and all that. But let me just say that last quarter was 6.13. You can make the appropriate adjustment.
Okay. Okay. Understood. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. That was it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vivek Ramakrishnan from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Sir, congratulations on excellent performance. My question was going to be about the deposits only. This year seems to be a year of scramble for deposits. What do you think is going to propel your deposit growth? You seem very confident about that. Is it, by tweaking the rates, giving a higher rates? What is the secret sauce for getting more deposits? That's my only question, sir.
No, first of all, thanks so much for that. Honest answer, have you been to any of our branches?
Yes, sir. I have.
It's okay. Do you get a comfort?
Yeah. Generally, they've been very pleasant, sir.
Okay. No, thanks for that. No, because the reason I ask is that we, if you talk informally to people there or something, they'll probably give you a color. This is somehow, you know, we are probably paying the similar interest rates like what, the peer banks are paying. What we call peer banks are the mid-tier banks. Think of IndusInd, Yes Bank, Bandhan, our bank, or maybe, you know, one or two more banks, maybe a bank more in that category. So I think of these as mid-tier. We're all paying similar rates. Probably we are a bit lesser than them, but somewhere that band. But somehow our hit rate per branch is significantly better. And now we've got to allocate, figure out what is the reason if you're paying similar rates. I think it's definitely a bank is just seen as a really good brand. Not that others are not, they're also good brands. But somehow we've acquired that very strong institutional image, feel. I think the customers are experiencing us, are referring more customers because you say bank or the chair, you know, that kind of stuff. I think all that is coming together, and then rates are what we pay.
Thank you very much, sir. Actually, beyond asking for 2003 notes, I've not interacted that much to
you. No, you must. If you see our deposit growth, this year our deposits have now come to 71,000. The CASA deposit is 71,900 crores. But that 71 is not actually in the 71,000 because, you know, the last 2-3 days before the quarter ended, somehow some large government institution gave us 2,131 crores. Really short-term money. We don't want to count that money. But even if you subtract 71,983 minus 2,131, it comes to something like 59,800 crores. So that's a very solid growth coming from 51,000 crores of last year. So we are definitely a strong beneficiary, and things are moving for us well.
Congratulations, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Vivek.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lalit Dev from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir, congratulations and good setup. So I have two questions. So firstly, sir, during the quarter, we have seen some increase in our SAR saving rates as well. So like on a blended basis, like what would be our rates on the saving deposits, and like how much it could increase going ahead in terms of repricing?
Sudhanshu.
Yeah, Lalit, SAR rate for the quarter for us was about 5.37%, and this was up by about 10 basis points only during the quarter. So
we basically, you know, up to 10 lakhs is still paying only 4%. So as you know, that's where the bulk of the customers are, and we pay on a progressive basis after that.
So The bulk of the major repricing has been done, or like is it, are there some part which is likely to come in the coming quarters as well?
We don't know. I, as you know, I never take a position on this.
Okay. And so like when in the retail loan, so while there has been a broad-based growth across segments, but particularly in the rural finance, we are seeing some strong growth over there. So could you quantitatively tell us like what is the nature of this book and where, in which segments are we lending in this segment, in this particular segment?
You know, our what we are growing on the lending side is frankly very, very well disclosed by now. In the sense that we have already put out our lines of businesses, home loans, affordable home loans, cars. Now we started new cars also, by the way, not in a big way, but still we've already started new cars. We started tractor financing, and now we started, of course, we've already been doing used cars for a long time. We are good in two-wheelers. We're doing micro-enterprise loans. The list is very, very long. So, in fact, somewhere in the investor presentation, we have actually put out a full list of products that we are doing. There's commercial vehicles, then business banking, then, the list is long. So, it's a very, very long list, and over a period of time, last 7 or 8 years, we just lost a long list. So, for us, frankly, for us, growth, at least we don't think of this as a bother at all. It's just coming. In fact, we just don't have to touch a credit criteria. We don't have to relax anything. If you need more business, just have open more locations and keep launching new products. So at least for us to, at least for many years to come, I don't think growing credit is an issue at all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ishan Agarwal from Ravna Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. So first of all, congratulations to the entire team for a superb set of numbers once again. I must say that the execution by the management has been to the T since merger and has exceeded my projections almost every quarter. So now I'll begin with my questions. We have reported total provisions of 483 crores this quarter, out of which I believe 79 crores is one time in nature so as to improve the provision coverage ratio. Excluding this, our provisions for the quarter stand at 404 crores, which when analyzed stand at 1.03% of the book, which is lower than what we have been reporting in the past quarters.
Correct.
Is this a structural lowering of credit cost due to better quality of sourcing and overall better quality of the book?
Well, you know that we have always put out our credit cost numbers for 10 years now. So, and we put out a gross numbers, put out a net numbers, we put out a credit cost also for 10 years now. So you should, we have given a guidance, as you know, for 2% credit cost. If you remember, we always talk about 2-1-2 formula, right? 2% gross, 1% net, 2% credit cost. So, but somehow, yeah, the credit cost is for us is very low at this point of time. To your question on whether it is structural, we believe that this part has become structural. And we keep the guidance there because it's just that we don't want to let anyone down in what we're guiding. But we believe that
asking you without any one-offs or any
That's what I'm saying. So basically, we have given guidance of 2 because we don't want to let down people. But we feel that structurally, to answer your earlier question, structurally, we believe it has come down. We believe we'll actually not touch 2.
And I think you had mentioned 1.5 previously.
Yes. We have on an annual report guided for 2.12, but for the last year we did guide 1.5, but we have come below 1.5.
Okay. So for the next year it could be 1.5 or lower than that.
Could be there, could be, but our own internal estimates are more like there, but we have kept a public guidance where we always left it. But if you have to pencil in what should be a good number, I guess you are somewhere there what you're talking about. But the other thing is that the more important thing is that your earlier question, I thought you asked an important question, it kind of slipped between the cracks, is this issue about, is it structural? Now, really we believe it's structural. we can't take the eyes off the ball. We are, as a bank, we should be always careful. Structural meaning, what I mean by structural is that now, you know, credit appraisal processes, you know, information, let's think of a process, think of KYC. You know, earlier, KYC was coming through, say through a passport copy or a license or whatever. Now, if it's coming digitally, biometric authenticated and VKYC and all that, you know, it become more authentic. Then what is the next step? You do credit appraisal. Credit appraisal was coming through some physical paper and all that. Now it is coming digital and it is that much more authentic. Then after that is monitoring. You used to have frequency monitoring, probably monthly or something. Now you're practically doing weekly or daily monitoring. So that's also become better. Collections was coming in, you know, somebody was calling the customer and going and collecting from the customer or all that. Now all that is gone. Is sending UPI links and collecting. So everything has become better now structurally. And bureaus have come. You know how this works.
And the bank itself intentionally is also sourcing better quality customers along with the systems becoming better. Is that right?
That is 100% correct, because now our cost of funds is lesser. We don't have to take risk like a NBFC. We can play like a bank, like a good large bank.
Okay. That answers my question. Now moving on to the next question. This year our core POP growth has been phenomenal. I mean, we've reported a 67% growth as compared to FY22. Now, my question is, given that a significant portion of the operating leverage is still to play out in terms of cost to income, and I remember in one of your media interviews, you had mentioned that core PPOP could grow by 40-45% in FY24 and 25 as well. Do you believe by your internal estimates the bank can achieve that kind of growth?
First of all, this year also we said 45-50, it's now turned out to be 60.
Correct.
So we are very happy, at least we didn't let you down this year. Yeah, but next year, yeah, definitely we're feeling very good. We believe that we will outrun the our cost growth. So if our balance sheet grows by 25, yes, of course, our PPOP should grow, definitely should grow faster than that.
Okay.
Because now scale is playing up, yeah.
I have a few more questions if I can...
Yeah, sorry, Ishan, I would request you to please come back in the queue. There are many participants waiting in the
Okay.
Ishan, just in case you don't get a chance, nice speaking to you. But if you get a chance, we'll talk to you.
Sure. It's great to be on the call, as always. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Dama from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for good set of results.
Thanks.
Sir, one question is that if you can provide some breakup in terms of your SAR deposits, how much is present and like how much is over 10 lakh, that would be really helpful.
I don't think we're giving that number. Sudhan, should he have the number?
No, so we are not calling out that
broadly. Give us.
No, just repeat the question. Less than 10 lakh. No, ask the question more specifically.
Yeah, so the question was about how much of your SAR deposits would be less than 10 lakh and about 10 lakh.
Maybe I don't even have the number offhand, but I don't know how the answer right away, but maybe, you know, let me just say that our bank, if you're trying to get under the hood and trying to get a color of a customer profile, if that gives you a better sense, we are, let me say, getting a slightly higher than, let me say, upper middle class is customer base, if that's, and a slightly HNI-ish kind of customer base. Maybe the location of a branches or the look and feel or whatever. So our average balances that we're getting are, let me say, at least 30-40% more than, let me say, similarly placed banks.
Okay. So would that basically put more of the deposits into the about 10 lakh?
Yeah, for example, when you open a savings account, we have two categories. One is a 25K account and one is a 10K account. Okay. So the 10K account, minimum balance is 10, but people are keeping 40-50,000 with us. The 25K account minimum balance is 25, but people are keeping a lakh and a half with us. So, you know, that gives the color of the profile. Somehow, it is the way it is that the bank is getting that kind of deposits.
Okay. And is there any breakup in terms of retail deposits and some kind of institutional star deposits which come by in the overall star breakup?
Again, your voice is not coming so clear. Is there a repeat question if you don't mind?
So I was saying that within the SAR deposit, what's the share of the retail individual deposits and the non-individual deposits?
Well, everything's individual only in the savings side.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, retail deposits are 76% of the total deposits, and we have seen a good growth during the year. In fact, it grew at 53% on a YOY basis.
Oh,
so
yes,
it's quite gradual.
Term deposits as well, right?
Yeah.
I'm just talking about the SAR deposits.
The size also,
it's predominantly retail.
Retail only. But I'll tell you one thing. If there's one weakness our bank has, it is actually the fact that, see, frankly, SAR bank is like hitting it out of the park. I'm telling you, we are really doing well. We just have to take a word for it. The area for a bank is that we are low on CA. If you see peer banks, or at least peer bank meaning the larger peer banks, so to say, close to about 30-35% of their balances is current account balances out of the CASA. For us, it's like 15-16%. 18%. So it's about 18%. So this is a, but as you know, current account takes, you know, a long time to build because you've got to get the whole ecosystem and all that. But we're working on that. I think we'll get there.
Yeah, on your earlier question on SAR, 97% is retail. So it's predominantly retail.
Okay, so we got your answer while you were on the call.
Okay. That's a good number. So secondly, is that what's the current employee base? And if you look at the cost income ratio, where you have guided that you would look at about a 65% kind of a cost income ratio maybe 2 years down the line. If that is the case, how do you see that cost income ratio coming down? I understand that one
there's a lot of disturbance in your call, but just to save other people's, feelings, let me just, but I got the question, let me answer your question quickly. So how will it come down? Okay,
I got it.
So how will it come down? So, okay, we're waiting for it to come down. The question is how will it come down? It's very simple actually, it's not so complicated. You know, first of all, I told you the trend how the last 4 years have been, so it should give you confidence that it will. Rather than just believe, I'll tell you specifically. So, for example, our key gap is credit cards. I mean, actually, we have two key gaps. I called them out to you. Show me the page. There were two things we called out for you. One was the credit card. Second was liabilities. Liabilities, I answered one of the prior gentlemen who spoke, saying that I think it was Mohit. We were just saying that, look, book grows, branches will pay back. Straightforward, and I'm making it too straightforward. Of course, they've got to do their work. They've got to, sell the other products. They've got to cross-sell multiple products, etc. They get the fee income, generally book growth, NII grows for them, and they break even. It's very straightforward. Now, the second business is credit cards. In the credit cards, we are current last year, that is in FY23, while we haven't put out the numbers on the presentation, but I remember it was something like about 300%. Last year, FY22 came down to 240%. This year, FY26 came down to 160%. We believe in FY24, this should like convincingly come down. It's more like maybe 100% or maybe even less than that. And FY25, we expect to break even credit cards. So think about it. So if that amount of credit card business starts breaking even, that is straight to the P&L, and that reduces cost income. So that is one factor. You can do the math for yourself, you'll get it. The second part is that what Saptarishi earlier pointed out to you, that you have that 17,000-18,000, maybe Sudhanshu said that you have 17,000-18,000 crores that we are funding today at 9%. Now, moment we replace that with today's money, this 5.7, 5.8%, you see the difference, that 3% on that 17,000 crores, that's 500 crores. So that is also going to come to the income line. So that straight away stalls the cost income ratio. So you should not at all be surprised it will come down. And what you should actually look back and think is that if you're already posting 1.2-ish ROA, and now at our current cost income at 70%, imagine when the 70 comes to 55, whenever it comes, just see whether, do the maths for yourself. You know, that's 10% on a NIM, of our NIM. Just do the maths and add it to the ROE, you'll know where this ROE will hit. I'm pretty bullish.
So you have basically put out the time of theory, where you have put out the cost income ratio across segments. So yeah. Apart from cards, which is about 165%, is there a chance that basically the liabilities and the wholesale banking cost income ratio can come down further? And if yes, any rough estimate you can
take? Yeah, see, even liabilities will come down, but you know, the liabilities is a long game to break even to zero, let me tell you. In one of the prior banks I worked, it didn't break even for like 12, 13 years. So these things do take a long time, because what happens is that we're a startup bank. So you might say that, end of the day, remember that we've got to raise deposits, so we might put more branches, and those branches you put in will have its own life cycle to start becoming profitable again. So these things sometimes tend to drag like a bit longer. But see, the end of the day, my own sense is that we shouldn't keep knocking our head on this one line item of cost income. Well, end of the day, it is what return on equity do you generate? And we are pretty clear that even at our current cost to income, even if the marginal dip from this, 70s coming to 60s, there will be a massive improvement in ROE. And frankly, once a bank goes to 17-18-ish ROE, forget 17-16, even if it goes to the 15-ish ROE, lot of you people who think about this issue a lot, all of you will calm down and you'll become happy. Just watch the trend. Just watch 3 quarters more, 4 quarters more.
So certainly, I mean, we'll all be happy, but then if we can get some guide path as to which element basically would see that, improvement.
Okay. I told you two specific things. One is credit cards. Second, it is liabilities. We don't know how. Third, I told you that legacy cost of funds, that 8.9%. Fourth is that fee income. These are ones that are looking in the eye. But let me tell you two more line items which are also important. Fee income, because we are not exactly doing a great job in getting fee income from our on the liability side. As you know, most of our services are free there. So, but the and even our cross sell, you may not have got very many calls from the bank, to sell you the X product or Y product, because we keep it very little toned down because we don't want to disturb customers. But net, there's a fee income, there's a big opportunity for us on the fee income side to grow it. Wealth management is growing by 40-50% a year. That will give us fee income. Fast track business is growing. That will give us fee income. So we have many buttons to press. Just watch the game and fee income will go up. The other buttons I told you will work, so it will come. Just watch this quarter, watch this year end, watch next year end. I assure it will come down.
So lastly, just wanted to check, you have given this cost income ratio of 174% for IBD. For this cost for other banks, I'm sure that you would be aware about broadly what kind of cost income ratio that they operate. Is it something similar or far lower?
No. It depends on life stage. If you go and pick a bank like, one of the big banks which has lived its 25, 30 years, like ICICI or HDFC, obviously this will be profitable, undoubtedly. It's a life stage. Not everybody's forgetting. Man, our bank is 4-5 years old. 5 years meaning 4 years after merger. And that time our balance sheet was the loan book. The deposits were 5,000 crores, 6,000 crores of deposits. We had retail. So let me take it practically start. So really, you give me 15 years, I'll show you what cost income, what ROE this bank will make. It's really early, 5 years. And meanwhile, remember, we're rolling out all the branches, et cetera. And we will roll out more also. So honestly, I've told you people many times before that I am building this bank for the long run. I am not taking shortcuts to say that, oh my God, I've got to please everybody, post some ROE, this man, do it now. And kill it. We're not playing that game. We are just building for the long run. It will take a little more time. But I will deliver ROE. That I'm telling you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Tendulkar from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. I've got some great picture. I just wanted to ask one question. In which of the
credit origination... Pranav, sorry to interrupt. Your voice is not clearly audible. Please use the handset mode.
Enough. Can you hear clearly?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I just wanted to ask one question. So I understand the philosophy that credit origination yield is given by market, and then we do better by selecting better credit in that asset category. So can you just qualitatively or quantitatively highlight in which credit categories we have the best credit origination processes? And what are we doing about it? So is it SME, is it vehicles, and how we are improving it? So can we proudly say that we are number one in terms of credit yield minus provision cost metric for the industry? Thanks a lot.
Yeah. So Pranav, as you would see from the presentation, we have a very diversified retail book, right? So we have been doing home loans. That book has been increasing. It increased by 40% on a YoY basis. We have a loan against property, which we have been doing for quite a number of years, right? Then even on, I would say, on the wheel segment or the two-wheeler space, we have been gaining market share there, right? Rural, we saw a very healthy growth during the year, right? That also meets our PSL requirements. Then we are a formidable player on, I would say, consumer durables and so on. So it's a wide asset class, and we have a stated strategy to grow each and every product. Of course, at the same time, ensuring that the credit standards are not compromised. If you see the presentation on slide 36, we have given that we follow a very elaborate process in terms of credit screening. In this process, we do reject many applications, right, which come into the bank, right? It's all scorecard-driven. This is also quite evolved, I would say, over a period of time. The data from the bureaus is also quite enriched now, right? So all these are sort of playing out, and all this results into a lower check bounce, lower SMA, and the resultant NPA formation and so on. So we feel that with the model which we have, where on the retail assets, we have a blended yield of about 15%-15.5%, right? The credit cost is quite currently manageable, and if we are able to maintain at this pace, then we feel that we are in a good run.
See, one of the key things to note for our bank, and I think very, very important, is to actually think of what is the collection efficiency. Well, you know, right now, Sudhanshu talked about that we have good underwriting process. Yes. Okay. By definition, if you do good quality underwriting, when we present check, they should not bounce. Yes. But our check bounce is very low, very low. Then when the checks are bouncing very low, then whatever is bouncing, someone should collect on them. I'll tell you a number, and this, you know, you can compare this. One of the large NBFCs even report these numbers as well. Now, we have actually even disclosed our check bounce percentage, sorry, collection percentage. It is 99.5% is our collections. And let me explain 99.5 to you. This is EMI collected divided by EMI due. This does not have arrears. This does not have prepayments. You know, sometimes some entities report, "I got 104% collection." How can someone collect 104%, 107%? Only because they're collecting either prepayments or collecting arrears. I am telling you pure what is due and what is collected. That's 99.6%, and it is not a fluke once in a while. Now, it's been like 12 months in a row, it is 99.5. Now, therefore, only 0.5% slips to 0 to 30 bucket. So that's it.
That's important.
So that's very phenomenal. And then that's it. Then after that, so that is why, that is what gives us the confidence to commit this 2%, 1%, and whatever we tell you.
Super, super. Sir, I just got confused about how you calculate branch cost to income. If you just explain that to me, that will be great. And thanks a lot. I am done with my questions.
No, I think somebody else also asked a question, so if it's not clear, we'll explain it one more time. Now, think of a branch. Let us say a branch is a cost, people, premises, whatever is the cost of a branch. Now, suppose a branch gathers deposits of 100 crore, and suppose there's a benchmark, X% is what is payable to that particular branch for raising savings account. So suppose the branch has 100 crore of savings accounts, and suppose the benchmark is X, and suppose the branch paid 5.5% to customers. The difference between the X and the 5.5 becomes the income of the branch. That if that branch now goes to 200 crore, the income will become 2X. If the branch becomes 300 crore, income will become 3X. But OpEx is not becoming 3X. OpEx is the, what is the cost, what you pay rent or people. So that differential with scale goes up. But on a current account, the branch will get, in the same example, will get the X minus zero, but you'll get the full amount because you're paying nothing to the customer. So that's how the economics work.
Got it. Got it. Basically, you are communicating risk to branches, and that is very, very good communication mechanism, actually.
Yeah, let's
So the branch profitability is driven by it.
So just for sake of argument, let me just pick a number. Let me say 7%. So suppose you told the branch that, you know, whatever deposit you get, I'm going to pay you 7%.
Right.
Okay. Now, if the branch gets, say, 100 crores of savings account, and they paid the customer, say, 5.5, that 7 minus 5.5, 1.5% on 100 crores belongs to the branch. They made 1.5 crores.
Right.
You got it. And now, if the branch is now a 200 crore branch, that is going to make 3 crores. And then with, that's how it scales and productivity, a branch starts making money. So we are not worried. This is how it works. And I've done this before for a long time now. It works.
Right, right, right. So actually, you, is it getting used for communicating various targets that your bank has to branches also? Is that a future plan? Like, I see that there are many branches and many banks where transfer pricing is also not clear. But you have taken this step. And that is a great step, actually.
It gives clarity, no, to that person also. Yeah. The person knows what to do. Now, the other thing is there. If the branch, say, suppose a cross-sells loan of the bank itself. Now, obviously, from the branch manager point of view, they have spent their time selling a loan instead of raising savings, for example. So we tell them, okay, you raise, give me a home loan. The liability, the assets team will say, okay, take this much money from me. So that's how you pay for a job. Internally done, they get paid. Externally done, they get paid. And that's how it makes money. And there's fee income and all that.
Super, super. Thanks, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congratulations. Good set of numbers. Yeah. So, firstly, on the growth side, and given that within a short span, we had seen almost 250 odd basis points kind of a rise. And all through over last 2.5 years, we have grown at a very rapid pace. So now, firstly, maybe on the home loan, do we see any moderation in the prime segments that we operate in? And even in the other product segments, no doubt you have highlighted in terms of the quality of book which we are writing, but just merely because of the rate increase, inflation, okay, do we see a risk in any of the retail product segments? Yeah.
In home loan,
we are growing at this pace. Yeah.
No. In home loan, the issues never risk at all. I mean, I can't say never. Obviously, careful. But generally, we've not had any delinquency and all that. The thing is that in home loan, there is no margin.
In demand. Yeah.
Just very little margin, and I mean, if you think of a bank like us just about starting up the home loan business, you know, our cost income, for example, in home loans are pretty high. You might say why? Because, you know, our book is small. And, you know, if you book a home loan today, you probably pay a percent to the DSA or whoever brought you the loan or even to the branch for that matter. And then you also incur the cost of legal, valuation, technical, you know, all the credit appraisal processes, running the shop, doing diligence, all that stuff. All that hits you today when you book the loan. But year two onwards, there is no OPEX in a home loan. So that is the reason there is an upfront cost of booking a home loan, but annuity income, it makes money with scale. So for us, we are early stage of a home loan, like 20,000 crores. So so it's not a very profitable business, but it's okay. We are building the bank for generations. So maybe 10 years from now, somebody else, you know, who will enjoy this business. Think of HDFC today. Think of HDFC today. The cost income is nothing. So it doesn't mean it is always like that. Because someone built it one day, it's what it is today.
Yeah. So overall, retail, no concerns with respect to higher credit cost after having grown at this pace over the last 2.5-3 years?
Not 2.5-3 years. No. Kunal, you correct yourself. After running it like for 12 years.
Yeah. I was just saying in terms of build-up of the retail. Yeah, definitely it's been going on all through. But during COVID, so I was just highlighting maybe during this pandemic as well, we have grown.
Listen, you've been tracking this business from capital first time, when it was capital first, when you were at Edelweiss, and you tracked it when it came to ISEC, now you're at Citi. Have you ever seen a bank having NPA more than 2%? Ever?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a net NPA more than 1, or marginally 1, maybe 1.1, whatever? Have you ever seen our credit loss being high? This business is fantastic. Yeah. It's never, at least the way we underwrite it and the way we constantly improve our credit underwriting norms, you know, we've been like 12th year in business, but we still don't let our guard down. Every quarter, we still sit and tighten some part of the use of the machinery or the other, and so we do that. So this, so we don't think we will drop the standard of 99.5% collection, and if we don't drop that, we will not have an NPA problem. That's our sense. And if we were to have a problem, we'll come to know 12 months in advance, because the 99.6 will dip to, it has to dip to something. It should come to 99. Our risk management committee will see it. Our board will see it. We will see it. The world will see it next quarter, because I'm reporting this number. We are putting it every quarter out publicly. If we have a problem, you'll come to know much in advance. When we won't, at least we'll make sure as management that we have any problem on this front. We have our own track record to protect.
Yeah, sure. And sorry, I didn't see earlier remarks, but any one-off in margins, reported margins in this quarter?
Sir, I think Sudhanshu answered the question. Yeah, 6.3 or something.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, got that. And on PSL positioning, how is it now? RIDF is an which is coming off every year. But otherwise, overall PSL requirement, given March and are we through and there is no drag over there?
Yeah, Kunal, so we have given the presentation that we have not been investing any more in RIDF, so that book has been running off. Of course, a proxy to that to meet PSL requirements is PSLC certificates, which are participant can buy from the market. I would say we are doing quite well on this front. In fact, for us, the PSLC drag for the year was just about 30 odd crores, right? So we are, I would say, very much there, and we want to ensure that we meet PSL requirements on our own, and that would continue to be our endeavor.
And this 30 crore would compare to how much last year?
It was a much larger number. It was about 160 crores in the previous year.
Okay. So 130 crore delta in this year. Okay. Great. Okay. Thank you and all the best. Yeah.
Thanks, Kunal.
The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Two questions, actually. One is on ROA progression, right? So if I were to adjust slide 60 of the PPT, you know, the adjusted for the one-time item, the ROA would have progressed to 1.23, which is like 10-12 basis point increase. If you can sort of talk about the likely progression from here on, that would be really helpful.
First of all, I hope you and all members listening today will recall that we have guided for double-digit ROE fourth quarter. And right. Double-digit is 10%, and many people, I think, pretty much roasted us, saying, guys are not going to do it very hard and all that. But listen, I'm happy to report to all of you. It's not 10, it's 12. Right? So we are happy about that. Now, guidance, we have already guided for, you know, a couple of times ago, I alluded that we will meet our ROE targets. Not only targets, actually, it's coming naturally. We're not even having to force things. So we said, you know, if you remember the guidance we gave that at the time of merger, that we will touch 13 to 15% ROE in the by FY25. I'm happy to say that we will touch the upper end of the guidance.
Sure. By 25, right?
Yeah. And it won't stop there also. That's how the economic problem is. But we use the word exit quarter, because every quarter it will keep moving in the direction. Yeah.
Sure. And then, sir, maybe from next quarter, if you can redo the guidance slide, right? Because you have already achieved quite a number of parameters in the guidance slide that we had given at the time of the merger. You are already ahead on asset quality and some of the other parameters. Maybe you can put out the new slide for the next maybe 2-3 years based on current numbers that we are delivering.
Okay, we'll think about it. Yeah, let's just close. You know, we have to meet every one of the guidance, and that's when we'll feel more happy. So let's get close to it. 25 is still a year away.
Sure. And lastly, sir, if you have the number for slippages in this quarter, and maybe for the full year, the gross slippages and the recovery, write-off and upgrades. Yeah, that is it.
I don't have it offhand, but maybe we'll put it out. It's there somewhere in the presentation. But see, end of the day, you know, this, it is what does it translate to credit loss, right? Because you may have slippage, you may collect. And there are some natures of portfolios which have, which are, you know, you may have some portfolios which have maybe 1.5% slippage, but have lesser collections on that bucket. Some portfolio have 2.5% slippage, but the collection is, from that bucket is more. So net-net, it all comes back to what is your credit loss. That's it. And as long as you meet guidance of 1.5 credit cost and we met for the last year, I think we should be okay. But we'll share the numbers more.
Sure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonal Minhas from Prescient Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is Sonal Minhas. Am I audible?
Yeah. Yeah. Hi.
Hi, sir. Great set of numbers. I've been an investor for last, I guess, 3.5 years, and I've been looking at the
Thank you. Let me interrupt you and say special thanks to you, because if you've stayed with us for three years at a stretch, when the numbers are not good, that we want to thank you for that. Now, let's watch.
No, sir, first, sir, so just want to add to that. The first chart, the gentleman before, what he was talking about, I think that was all that we saw as a promise 3 years back, and I think it's really wonderful to see numbers slowly and gradually inching towards what targets and benchmarks I think you put for yourself. So, appreciate it again, sir.
Thank you.
I have two questions, sir. First one is, sir, around the infra book, basically, which is being run down slowly and gradually. I think we are retiring close to 12,000 crores of that as of FY24 end. So what will it be most likely be refinanced by? Will it be CASA? Will it be CASA TD? Just want to get to understand, like, what the spread we're talking about here, that we basically be saving.
Think of it that we replace it with deposits. It could be, assuming for a minute that we keep our CASA in the zone of the same 45-ish to 50-ish, and we'll replace it with deposits. Our mind is sorted on this issue.
Okay, and there'll be enough liquidity of that order in CASA TD to replace this, because there's a large amount. That's what I just wanted to clarify.
No, no, we'll raise it. We'll raise it. We'll do it. No problem.
Got it, sir. And sir, second question, just if you could throw some more light on your credit card business. We're close to 15-16 lakh odd cards. What card number or what matrix does it basically, the business become break-even? And secondly, like, probably a little bit more about the competition you see in that business, because there are some tech players coming, and I think some other larger brands are also doing well. So aspirationally, what is your space in that market? And profitability-wise, how far are you basically in terms of card count, the kind of target audience you're approaching? So just want to get a sense of that part of it.
Yeah. Well, on an earlier occasion, I think someone else had also asked this question, not today, but one of our earlier calls, and at that time he said, like, 2 million kind of cards, I thought we'll kind of break even. The thing is that now, maybe a better way, when we reflect on it internally, we think issue is not whether it's 2 million or 3 million. Issue is that at a particular kind of book size, you know, the economics start playing in our favor. So our current estimates are very much what we had guided earlier. We had earlier also said that FY, you know, I think twice in two conference calls earlier, we said that FY25, we will break even. And we'll be saying break even, but frankly, our own internal estimates are that we'll be profitable by that time. Like, so think of it in terms of timelines, more than in terms of number of cards. And to your second question, so does that answer the profitability question? Or
that's can I move to this? Broadly that way.
Yeah. Take 25 and you can hold us to it. I think we'll get there.
Got it.
And that is actually one of the items that will help us on our overall, you know, economics, our ROE, what we're guiding for this 15% exit 25, all that will come from there. That'll be our criteria. One of the input variables. Now, your second question, how we are doing as compared to, you know, the others. As you know, there are really good players, you know, all the good names, HDFC, ICICI, they're all wonderful people are doing wonderful jobs on this front. But even the other players we talked about. Now, we somehow, like I said, we got a really good positioning of our own. of our own, meaning that people, our brand enjoys a certain respect. People call for our card. We don't have any DSAs, but people are requesting for the card, and we are issuing to them. Our spends are pretty good. I don't have the number offhand, unless Sudhanshu remembers. But our spends are really very good, and we offer pretty attractive reward propositions. We make it evergreen, so we don't hurry customers to spend it. We are giving customers, even the reward redemption option through online propositions. So there are some really good things. So people who experience that card, they get to see it. So if you don't have one, please have one also. I'll be happy.
I'll definitely do so. Just to follow on, sir. So what it would be like?
I hope you're not being polite about this. If you are seriously, you tell us. Someone will.
Two data points on spend. We are almost reaching about a spend about 1,800 2,000 crores per month. In fact, it has grown by 90% on a YOY basis. To the earlier question on liabilities, even this last 1 year, we successfully sort of paid about 7,500 crores. Of legacy liabilities. This year we have about 5,000 odd crores. We feel we will be comfortably able to meet it.
Got it. Okay. All right, sir. Just want to follow on, sir, if I can, on the cards. Like, what share of it would be people who are rolling over if 100 cards are in force, and what would be transactors who basically on time, just trying to get a broader sense of it?
I think it's like 24-ish, 25-ish percent is our transactors. Other revolvers. To the best of our knowledge, many other people in the industry have like maybe 30-35%. So we are a little less than the market, but I see it as an opportunity to improve.
And just to add, in addition, there are people who also opt for EMI conversion. So I'm saying we generally see revolvers and these EMI put together, that number would be slightly more than 50% for us.
So yeah, that's another factor.
That's a combined number, yeah.
That's a combined number. Yeah. So people also, use the card and they take EMIs on. They convert the spends basically. That's not called revolvers. There are people who convert it to EMI. So we do that also. But we are a new. These things always catch up, build over time, and again, we're only 2 years in this business. 21 or 2.5 years. So we have a lot of scope.
I agree. I think there is enough headroom, and it's a high-cost business. And I think your tech stack is a little better than a lot of people in the market I've been observing. So I think that's the additional advantage you as a company have. Maybe it's a newer tech stack. That's why, I guess.
I don't know, but there are many good players. But the thing is that we, we are new. So our performance may be a bit under par today in terms of revolver and all that. But really, I'm not telling you just to... Just not like a statement for the heck of it. I'm telling you, really, we're treating customers differently. For example, we are not trying to, I'll give you an example. For example, if customers went over a limit, and somebody has a limit of lakh of rupees, and suppose customers at 90,000, if the customer went over a limit and spent for 1,02,000, banks make a lot of fees out of that. Oh, you went over, pay me 500 rupees or 400 rupees, whatever. We are texting customers in that example to say, okay, man, you reached 80,000. I'm texting you, don't spend any more. If you spend it really, you'll go over the limit.
A lot of adverse incentives there for making money.
No, but we don't use, at least we try not to use those adverse incentives. We're actually reaching customers and trying to keep the customer interest in mind. And try to say that, listen, of course, if a customer chooses beyond our MIDs to go and spend it over the limit and pay us fees, well, thank you. But we are doing our bit to really run this bank in a way where it's truly customer friendly. It's a small things. Many things like this we do.
Got it, sir. Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. Look forward to it.
Thank you.
Due to time constraints, this was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to management for closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. I know it's late in the day, but thank you for a patient hearing, and thank you for the valuable questions which sort of came across.
And also thank you for the last 3 years for being with us. I mean, this is FY23, so you've been with us since 4 years now. I think many of you may have felt that you know, everything is fine, but damn, the result is not showing, ROE is not showing, ROE is not showing, cost to income. Just what's the next, I feel that it's just a setup stage. It was like that because we had to set up the bank. There was no other way of doing it. That we didn't know. But from now on, we believe that the numbers will show and you will get more confidence if you see us for 3-4 more quarters. Thank you, everybody. Again, bye.
Thank you very much.
On behalf
of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.